What is up, everyone? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020. And as I said, it's Wednesday, so it's time for us to break down the top betting stories of the week. But before we get to that, let's give you the rundown of what we have going on for you the rest of the week. We are dropping content for you every day, all day. Most days these days, it's pretty much double content. So tomorrow, Thursday, we got Matt Bird dropping his knowledge on the local corruption. That's mainly in St. Petersburg, but a lot of it, look, let's be honest, it can be taken to most cities, most big cities in the world. So what he puts down, you have to take. He's a very, very knowledgeable guy. And I think one of the best parts about listening to him is he's a very engaging talker. He draws people in. You want to listen to him. So definitely keep watching. And if you haven't, check him out tomorrow. Then we also have myself and Raider Jim in our Del Mar Thoroughbred Racing Call to Post. We are breaking down Del Mar, and we're getting deep into Del Mar as we are running back-to-back weekends finally. So it looks like the corona effect of Del Mar has passed. And this weekend's a big one. There are four to possibly five, definitely four, depending on how you look at Friday's race. But four big races, including a Kentucky Derby. It's turned into a tune-up for the Kentucky Derby because the Kentucky Derby is being raced when it is. But we have that to talk about. Then we move to Friday, where Friday is getting you ready for college football season. And we are moving along through the conference previews. And we have got to the MAC. And one of the best phrases is the MACtion. And that's what it is, because it's the
MACtion. MACtion. But
MACtion, baby. It's amazing.
I got to catch up.
Breaking it down.
I've been very, very busy. Very, very busy, because the podcast is blowing up. We're getting so many downloads, so many people subscribing, that later today I am going to go through Conference USA to catch up. And then we'll keep going on the Friday rotation with some MAC action, because the money from the MAC is just as green as when you win the Super Bowl.
Amen. And we move on to Saturday. Saturday is a really interesting day, is for the next about 6 weeks until Del Mar comes to a close. It'll be myself, and we'll have Josh in the bullpen, but it'd be mainly myself talking horse racing on Saturday, focusing on Del Mar, giving you live bets throughout the day. It's a really interesting podcast because obviously, you know, we're talking horse racing, but there's about 20 minutes in between each race, 20, 30 minutes. And it's a great insight to how I handicap and how Raider Jim, he usually pops in maybe for a race or two, but he pretty much gives me insight on every single race through text, and he's actually helped me a lot. So keep an eye on that on Saturday. Moving on to Sunday, that has been designated to be all about Major League Baseball and Southern California baseball. Two separate podcasts for those MLB and the Southern California. I got myself and Brianna Winter. We are getting into deep into really the intricacies of this 60-game season, not just 60 games, but also the runner on second and three batter minimum. So many weird things going on. So check that out on Sunday. Monday is now turned into something awesome that now the baseball has turned into. We are talking live betting because basketball will be back. It obviously starts tomorrow. And we will have you have those picks for you. I have them right here on my Google spreadsheet for tomorrow, for Thursday opening night. Oh, as my spreadsheet has frozen. Here it is. Lakers -4. And then we got the Jazz money line, N+3. Go ahead and buy that half point. Those are going to be your opening NBA picks for us. And then obviously, the deeper we get into the 8-game season or whatever this is, and then the postseason, we will have picks for you dropping every single day along with baseball. And Tuesday, look, we had it yesterday, or we actually had it earlier today, but it's going to be moved to Tuesday. It's Josh and Jason Maverick, the newest addition to the ESBC Podcast Network, as they talk business and financial literacy in terms of sports betting. It's a very practical podcast for you to enjoy that. Kind of breaks down how to look at betting in a business side. We break that down in pretty much all of our betting shows, but this is a very technical side of things on Tuesdays. So back to Wednesday as I catch my breath here. I am always honored to be joined with 2016 California Junior College Coach of the Year, Brandon Lupien. He is always bringing the knowledge here on Wednesday nights. He's a great guy to work with and makes it really, really easy to really talk sports because that's really what we do. This is the only show on the network that we break down pretty much all sports on one podcast. Every other podcast is specialized. This is an umbrella podcast, if you will. So how are you doing tonight, Coach Lupien? Honored to have you here today.
I'm doing well, and thank you for that wonderful intro, and thank you for getting that schedule out. As you, you're always on top of things, and, you know, listening to yourself and Brianna, right? I want to throw a shout out to Brianna. You can find Brianna at TheWinner12 on Twitter. You could find myself at Portland76. It's always great to be here on a Wednesday. Wednesdays are always something going on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And fortunate for us, something went down yesterday in Major League Baseball that we are it's kind of a scratching the surface kind of thing, I think, leading into the rest of the season. So let's get into it real quick. Joe Kelly, the man of the last 24 hours, throws at Bregman, throws Correa, chirps, throws these little, sad face, boo me kisses, and is in the middle of heated exchange with the rest of the Astros dugout. I didn't mind seeing him kind of like his ground instead of chirp and walk off. But you know what? Like, a lot of people around Major League Baseball, a lot of people around Twitter, other writers and whatnot are thanking Joe Kelly more or less for what he did. And it's funny, we were off air, you mentioned how he wasn't even on that team, but he's made a mark, right?
Well, it's interesting to me because obviously this all going to the Astros sign stealing scandal. And obviously Joe Kelly wasn't on that team, but I think it's a pitcher thing. Like, hey, look, it's difficult to pitch to major league hitters. Now, yes, we're throwing 95 with, you know, movement, but you are, you know, they're major league batters. They shouldn't know what's coming. We've had the conversation. Please go to the website. I think one of the podcasts I'd enjoy the most was the Astros cheating scandal podcast, where we kind of broke down the biggest cheating scandals in baseball, which, I mean, if you can have a whole podcast on that for one sport, you can only imagine. Right. But it was very interesting because it really came down to number two behind, obviously, the Black Sox scandal. And for me, it was Mike Trout. And it was, I forget the pitcher who said it, but he said, look, I'd much rather face Bonds or any player on steroids anytime, 9 or 10 times out of 10, rather than them knowing what pitch is coming. 100%. And so it was a disrespect, obviously, to the game and to the pitchers. The one thing I will say, Joe Kelly is, this is Joe Kelly. He is a fiery, and he's the guy that he's on your team. You love him. He's not. You hate him. And last night, you're right. All of baseball was behind him outside of a small little pocket of Astro fans. And even half the Astro fans had to be like, I mean, all right, you know, we cheat our way to a championship and that's what happened. All right. That's a fair trade. But it was, I mean, there are shirts. There are already shirts out that have, you know, his picture with the face. And it says, thank you, Joe Kelly. It's very, and now we get to the deeper part of it. Now, we laugh about this, and the real part of this is there's 8-game suspension right now that Joe Kelly just got handed down, and 8-game suspension to a reliever is rather eye-opening.
Right.
So even more eye-opening in terms of. That's now a sixth of the season, essentially. I mean, I don't want to break it down too much. I can only really do tens and, you know, stuff like that. But it's really, it's unfortunate. And then I realize I'm a Padre fan and this hurts the Dodgers. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Suspend him for the rest of the year. I'm just kidding. Right. But it's precedent. No one else is going to be able to throw at the Dodgers and get away with it. Period. And like I said, I don't think he was throwing at Carlos Correa. He was throwing at Alex Bregman, 100%. Carlos Correa, I think that pitch got away from him. And if you all remember in the offseason, one of kind of the viral moments of the offseason was Joe Kelly saying, hey, I'm practicing my changeup. And he broke his wife's window because he could not get a hold of his changeup. So, I mean, it lines up. I now see the conspiracy theory in me. Says maybe he was laying the groundwork for this the whole time. He knew he was going to get to this point. But no, it was very interesting. But I will say, we're going to see more of this. This isn't like, oh, okay, they suspended him 8 games. No one's ever going to throw at them. And even unintentional times, this is going to boil over. I and they deserve every bit of it, period.
Absolutely. They're prepared to deal with it. Absolutely. You know, 8 games for a reliever. Let's just say he goes every, what, 1.5, 2 games. And I say 1.5. 1.5 is different now that every reliever has to face 3 batters.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't that, it would be every 1.5, 2 games for a reliever to come in. That magnifies things a little different. But in regards to, and we're going to get into some early results, and it's just a week, but that's our show. Goes week a week. In regards to that game suspension, and do I even mention how well certain teams are playing and how fast certain teams are getting out of the gate? 8 games could be a deciding factor for reliever's magnitude. That's like losing in regards to a Padre reliever and our bullpen's deep. Let's say we just lost to Angel Pagan, right? Thank goodness we have a Pomeranz and a Yates along the line. But, you know, for that Dodgers bullpen, they're not as deep as the Padres. They're good bullpen. They're not as deep as the Padres bullpen. Close,
yeah.
No. So, you know, in a 60-game shortened season, yeah, and in mid-game call last week, Giants were up on the Dodgers 5-1. It was Giants up on the Dodgers 5-1, and it was a 1.5 spread. Those mid-game calls are going to be different without a Joe Kelly. Those lines might be different without a Joe Kelly.
Well, and that's huge. When we have this 60-game season, I think managers in the past, or I mean the past, what, 6 days, 7 days, have made it very obvious that, look, the starters are getting a quick hook. So, look, we look at back ends of bullpens, okay? I can tell you, everyone, setup man and closer, that's great. But – you got to build a bridge to get to the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings. There's maybe 8 to 12 to 15% of pitchers, starting pitchers, who are going into the seventh inning. We hear third time through the lineup. Coaches at this day and age will pull a guy who's pitching almost a perfect game just because they don't want him to go through the third time of the lineup, because you need 3 or 4 pitches to go through the third time of the lineup, through the third point of the lineup. And not a whole lot of pitchers have that. Obviously, look, if you have 3 really good pitches, you're at the top of any rotation, but we're seeing that reliance. And I will say this in terms of the 80-game suspension. If the rosters are, if the rosters were at 26 and not 30, I don't think you would see this long of a suspension. I think this is the MLB putting their foot down, but also saying, look, you have plenty of roster space to work with. We know what you did. We're really coming down hard on you. Now, in a 26-man roster, that would have been difficult because, you know, now what do you do? Because believe now you can kind of send him away. Now onto the taxi squad, because if he was suspended, he would have to stay on. That's a roster spot. So it's an interesting situation. And I think MLB got to the point where they don't want this to continue. They don't want this to linger. This threw the gauntlet down to every other pitcher that if you do this, you run the risk of being suspended for 8 games. And this is a reliever. So maybe if it's a starter, we might be looking at 15 to 20, if that's what they're looking at.
Two starts, right? Two and a half.
I mean, two or three, and that would be 15 games at that point. And that's a big number to just hear straight off the bat.
Right. And see, you know what? Like, I'm not even seeing 60 games. I'm thinking, my body is like, oh yeah, it's a long season. All of a sudden, 60 games are gonna be over. Like, and I'm like, where'd the season go? You know? And yeah. In regards to hot teams, any hot teams that really catch your eye? Yeah, other than our Padres.
Yeah. One
time being, we'll get to them.
One that did, and this will kind of feed off into another, the COVID talk was, look, I was impressed with what I saw from the Marlins. Now, I'm not sitting here getting on top and saying go, you know, NL East champs over here, but this is a team that has some pieces. And for me with the Marlins, it's hard for me to get over what has happened in the last 5 years. Okay, I look in the early 90s with the Padres. When you look at who they had, okay, they had the Alomar brothers, they had Gary Sheffield, they had Fred McGriff, they had Tony Gwynn, and I could keep going. I mean, I believe they had, you know, Joey Cora, and that could have been, maybe that was Alex Cora, I'm not sure. But they had talent.
It was Joey.
That's who it was. And now we look at what the Marlins could have had. The Marlins could have an outfield of Giancarlo Stanton, Christian Yelich, and Marcelo Ozuna.
Right.
They could have a starting rotation of Chris Paddock, Jose Castillo, and Santi Alcantara, who is pitching currently right now. And he is their ace, and he was a big reason why they won opening day. So this team now is shut down. And I'm really surprised that more people haven't reacted to this. This is a situation where the postponement runs through Sunday. So they are telling the Marlins, we will talk to you on Monday or whatever. This is a quarantine situation. And yes, thank you, Jose Fernandez. Thank you for dropping that on me. Thank you. Jose Fernandez could, now that is not, that's not the Marlins. They would love to have him.
Yeah. That's their control. But you know what? Can you imagine him with those wrestling guys?
You know, and it's crazy. But they're a team now. Obviously, the COVID situation, they're sitting down. I think they're going to end up with playing about 55 or 56 games. It's going to be a little bit of an unbalanced schedule. Whatever. It's 2020. We just deal with it. They're a team. I also look at Chicago Cubs. Have been on a tear, and they're pitching well. And I'll be the first one to admit that David Ross, now I don't know if this is going to sustain. I don't know if they can win the Central. We're still early in a short season. Mm-hmm. But David Ross winning games, and not every game has been a game that he's needed to, but he's managed that bullpen. And I think he knows this is a guy that was on the team 4 years ago, literally catching these guys.
Right.
And I thought that might have been a problem. Maybe the authority, hey, that's the guy I used to, you know, we chugged a beer after the game, you know, did shots. Like, how can you be an authority figure?
Right. Just too soon, right? Yeah. Too friendly, too soon.
Exactly. But maybe that's working. And like I said, we're five games into a 60-game season, I understand. And there's two other teams. The Tampa Bay Rays are going to be one that I'm giving a shout-out to. They have a chance to go for the sweep today against the Atlanta Braves. Myself and Brianna talked about this series on Sunday. We both expected the Braves to win this 2 out of 3. The Rays have not only won the first two games, but they have dominated the first two games. Mike Foltynewicz went out and he not only did he get the hook off the starting mound, off the mound, he was designated for assignment, which is essentially you have 10 days to find somewhere to go or else you are released. So they are not messing around. They know how important this is to get off to a start. And the last team that I'm going to talk about, I'll move over and allow everyone to see. The Padres.
We put that bet out there, though. And I'm going for the Atlanta Braves today. And I'll tell you why. Because what's important are the whys. And you always do your research, right? So the owner of the Braves was on CNBC. Now, we are the undisputed CNBC of sports betting, Bloomberg, Fox Business. But he was on CNBC, and he was talking about his involvement in the team. So the team's in a losing streak. And a lot of management guys like that use Sun Tzu, right? Chinese warrior. So what is Sun Tzu's main thing that's used in corporate America? It means that when you want to shake up the team and give them a sense of urgency and kind of switch things around, you cut somebody's head off, right? Sun Tzu cut the head off of a soldier to give everybody a sense of urgency. Tell them, hey, this is serious. And you don't pick a loser. You take somebody that they're shocked, right, that you would do this to, right, to show that he's serious. So that's what they did with that starter that Brandon first talked about. They got him off the team, and it was strategic. It was some person, probably it's money related, right? This guy's the CEO. So it's probably a guy he didn't want to pay for next year, but he's sort of good. A guy that I call fake guys that are just good in certain situations, but you can't really depend on him. Well, he cut his head off to give the Atlanta Braves, who a lot of people expected a lot of, right, an edge today against who? A low budget Tampa Bay team, right? That because there's no fans in the stands, they have a strategic advantage at home because they've never had any fans in the stadium. Anyways, God, they had cutout people last year, right? So they nobody goes to those games. So they're used to an empty stadium, all right? Now they're going to Atlanta. Big market, money market. Remember, the umpires, who pays the umpires? Major League Baseball. And what is the Braves, the Rays strategy? Take pitches and pray for a walk and play good defense. That's the Rays. Well, tonight, these umpires paid by Major League Baseball are going to have a very, very tight strike zone. Look tonight, if you're watching that game, MLB or the highlights, you're going to see the Rays guys holding and the umpire going, wow, and the Rays guy looking at him. Probably a couple of Rays are going to be thrown out arguing balls and pitches. But I told you why. And for that, many reasons, is why I picked the Atlanta Braves tonight to beat the Tampa Bay Rays in Atlanta. And Atlanta's about 10 times bigger market than Tampa.
The last team, like I said, that's just been on a tear has been the Padres. And I'm going to be the negative Nancy, the pessimistic Patty, whatever you want to call it, or negative Neil or pessimistic Paul. I don't want to leave anybody out. The game on Sunday, the only loss the Padres have had, I question the decision-making from Jace Tingler. They obviously look, they lost that game. They could be 5-0. I look at what happened last year with Kirby Yates. If you take every single appearance Kirby Yates put out last year, he was flawless outside of two and maybe a couple more, but I'm going to bring two to the forefront immediately. And it's when they played the Dodgers, it was back-to-back days, and it was the same situation. And look, don't get me wrong. I know the way baseball's played. If you're at home, and it's a tie game, you bring your closer in. I understand that. That's the way baseball's played. You don't need your closer anymore. I understand that. The only time that Kirby Yates struggled last year was in non-save opportunities, okay? We have 30 men, okay, it's a tie game. I understand the way baseball is meant to be played. That's the time. That's the manager handbook. But we can look back and go, hey, you know what? Maybe this guy thrives off of the bells ringing after every out, or yes, yeah, and needing that save next to his name. So I question Jace Tingler kind of. Now, we've been kind of told Jace Tingler's an outside of the box thinker and he's going to do some weird things. Well,
that was inside.
It was frustrating for me because I saw it happen. I mean, they got lucky, they tied it because Pagan, unfortunately, he kind of imploded. And then it was just, it seemed like a carbon copy from that Dodger game. But look, Padres are 4-1. They're in first place. They have two more games against the Dodgers. And I've said it from the beginning since the schedule came out. You have 16 games against the Dodgers and the Mariners. You have to win 12 of them. They've won one so far. They're 1-1. But this is a big key for them. The Dodgers lost two games to the Giants. That is Christmas in July, folks. That is house. We have a little bit of house money right now. We need to start moving a little closer. The pitching situation has been much better than expected. The fielding situation needs to improve. We need to get somebody out there in the outfield. We need to get Austin Hedges. Look, I love Oliveras. He can hit, but my goodness, he doesn't look comfortable in the outfield. Tommy Pham, sometimes he hasn't made an error yet, but there have been times where it's like, it's not windy, bud. Like, I'm outside right now. It is not that windy.
In fact, that run was off his ball in transition. That was his first error of the season. So, I mentioned that. The defense, field defense, really questionable. Whole bringing in Kirby Yates. I'm just against bringing in that closer in the eighth. It happened to Hoffman multiple times. It happened to Street. It happened to Yates. It happens to closers. They feed off that. They have that spike in levels, and that's what gets those guys over the edge with three outs in the ninth, four outs starting in the eighth, or six outs starting in the eighth. Just doesn't work, regardless if it's there or not, as we've seen it plenty of times. If you go back and recheck my tweets from a year ago, those back to games that were just identical because he just came in too early is what it was. But I'm glad you brought up those. And any of those teams have just young studs that adrenaline and momentum could carry on through the games. I mean, it happens.
Yeah. And it's a 60 game. Like, it's going to be a weird, it's 2020. I mean, that's the best way. You know, we just never know. I mean, the Tigers right now, I think the Orioles, I think after the, I don't know if they played yesterday. I think they had a postponement, but I think they're still in first place. I mean, it's just kind of weird right now. Everything's just a little bit off. But I do think here in the next couple days, we're going to get a little more normalcy. I go back to, like I said, with the it's a six-game NFL season. And you know how weird week six is compared to week 17. You look back, and there's a lot of differences. Well, we're stopping at week six, you know, just to give it some for everyone. But, yeah, so that's pretty much, you know, I will say one last thing on MLB before we move on is – I expected the Boston Red Sox to struggle this year, but my goodness, they might be the worst team, like, overall. Their pitching is worse than I expected. Their hitting is worse. Everywhere is worse than expected. They're also, of course, dealing with their own fallout of a sign-stealing scandal. They have Rob Ronicky, who's pretty much just a one-year it's going to get bad there before it gets better. But I will say this. Mike Fultonevich, who we talked about just a couple moments earlier, the guy who was released by the Braves, I would expect him to land in Boston. One man's trash is another man's treasure, folks. He will be the ace of that staff. And I'm not saying, you know, he'll just be the best pitcher on that staff. He won't be good, but he'll be the best pitcher on that staff. So it's a situation in Boston. This is nightmarish. Since Mookie signed that contract, the contract extension to where we are today
last week.
Yeah. And to be honest, look, I don't think it could have happened to a more deserving fan base in my mind. Sorry, Boston. I don't think it could have happened to any deserving fan base. So enjoy mediocrity and being crappy for a bit. They'll be back.
You are not in the minority with that thought process. So we'll take it.
Especially on the West Coast. Especially on the West Coast.
Somebody like them apples, right? But moving on to NBA, you threw out sports, tomorrow with two games. Bubble cases have seemed to, right, stay steady or none, nil. Do we want to get into chicken wings? You mentioned how good them wings look, right?
I mean, I kind of feel like I have to. I don't know if it was on a podcast that me and Josh talked about it, but if it was, I do need to come on and do something that most newspapers won't, but I will do a retraction. I commented that Lou Williams had done all the men in the world a solid by making precedent that, hey, strip clubs have good food. I thought he was just doing us a solid, and then I saw pictures of these things, and I am ready to risk coronavirus, hop on a plane, and fly myself into that bubble and get me some of them wings. They looked incredible. Even the crinkle cut fries, which Don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure they're just Orida that I have in my freezer as well. But my goodness, they look good as well. Look, Lou Williams, maybe you could pay somebody to go pick him up. Those wings looked amazing. I don't think that's the only way you could have gotten those wings. So the whole, oh, the wings were really good. That's why I was at that strip club. I'm not fully there. You got a lot of money. You can give someone $20 and they will go get you whatever you need, especially if while they wait for those wings, they get to look at naked ladies. So.
Oh, absolutely. You know. And you know what? In regards to your retraction, that's what us, we're 100% transparent. DM Beef, DM Josh, for spread. We put our results up. They speak for them, and they're free. So thank you for that retraction. In regards to, let's go over those picks again that you led off the show with. Tomorrow, yes, two games.
Yeah, I got them right here. The Lakers, look, -4. Obviously, they're playing against the Clippers. We've been talking about this, myself and Josh. This is a game. For the Lakers and Clippers, these 8 games are tune-ups. The real games will be the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
So, look, I expect the Lakers, Kawhi is probably 2 games in. I love Kawhi, but 2 games in, he's going to be talking about load management, and that's fine because these games don't really matter. But LeBron is different. LeBron is going to go 100%. We expect the Lakers to not only win, but obviously cover that 4. Because at the end of the day, the Lakers have the 1 seed. I think the Lakers have to go 1-7, and the Clippers have to go 8-0 for the Clippers to get the 1 seed. Right. Neither of those things happening. So I expect this to be a very kind of chill game. The Clippers know where they're going to land. Lakers know where they are. And we got the Jazz money line in +3. I believe that's the Pelicans they'll be going up against.
Yes.
This is a situation. Zion and the Pelicans are going to be the NBA's best friend. They are going to push everything they can, but they can't. I mean, the schedule was pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. We expect that maybe the first couple games for the Pelicans, it will be a little more, oh, let's see how it goes. And then later on in the year, later on in this 8-game, whatever, because we expect the NBA to do everything they can to get the Pelicans into the playoffs. They want LeBron, Zion in a 7-game series, round 1. Then they want LeBron versus Luka or Kawhi versus Luka. And then they want Kawhi versus LeBron. And then they want either of those two versus Giannis. Make no mistake about it. The NBA has an agenda. They are ready to execute. So let's monetize it. And we expect the Pelicans to maybe stumble first 2 times. Maybe they don't have those referee training wheels on just yet. But eventually we will get to that point and the Pelicans will start doing their work. But early on,
Adam Silver has to cover his tracks.
Exactly. You know, you gotta make it look like you're, you know, being a somewhat objective, you know, throw a dog a bone here or there. And that's what we'll see. And we'll monetize it on Thursday night.
Any idea? Everyone's talking about LA and LA. Well, what about Houston? Playoffs. 8 games, playoffs. Different team. When you play a regular season in a team like Houston that runs as free as they do, don't necessarily have the legs at the end of the season like they do. They will now. Harden looked good the other night. Harden real good. So we'll see.
When it comes to the Rockets,
I would refer everybody to go to. I'm going to do an East podcast today. So look for that. Look for Conference USA. And then I'm going to do a Beast of the East. And for those who know Spanish, I'm also posting the podcast I did yesterday with Legendario Tony Mejia, legendary Vegas insider, book guy, Hall of Fame guy. We did a podcast in Spanish and we broke down the NBA. But to based on what Coach Lupien said, Coach Suttle, right? He played in the NBA for 2 years, for a few years more than that. He coached James Harden, right? He coached Nick Van Exel. Mm-hmm. He said there's going to be 3 layers of legs. There's going to be the legs that there are now. There's going to be the legs that there are in 2 weeks from now. And then there's going to be playoff legs.
Right.
So I'll give detailed picks, but I'll give you a sneak preview, a spoiler. All right. For those who want to wait, go ahead and put something over your ears so you don't hurt. But here's a spoiler alert. Teams that play fast are going to cover the spread, most likely win the game. So if they're a dog, look for those teams that play fast. Maybe a Sacramento, you know, teams like that versus the Jazz. Even though I think the Jazz are going to win tonight because they have more firepower. There's been a lot of rumors about New Orleans being sick. But for the most part, teams that are going to play fast are going to have an advantage early in the season.
Right. And you not just said it, though. It's covering the pick, not necessarily winning, but covering the pick. Way to be.
Just going back to the Rockets, you know, they've always kind of been that team. I mean, it's fool me once, shame on you. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. At this point with the Rockets in the playoffs, it's like fool me, what, 8 times? This is a team that is flash, and you don't have to play as much defense as you used to win championships. You still have to play defense to win championships. And it's a running joke for me. I mean, is James Harden going to play defense? Like, I mean, for me, it's James Harden. Like, there is no D, and that's fine. Own it. But they continue to build other playmakers around him. And maybe bring in a Jimmy Butler. Now, would they be together? I don't know. But bring in a Bruce Bowen type. Obviously, I know he's retired. But a guy who is a defensive lockdown guy to the point where Chris Paul isn't covering or guarding the best offensive player on the other team. I mean, it blows my mind. And if I can see that, as somebody who knows probably the least amount of NBA than anybody on this podcast, the NBA guys definitely see it. And the Rockets are, like Josh just said, cover, that's fine. They'll cover. Yeah, cover. And they're going to lose. And it sucks for them. It's great for us.
Absolutely. And that's all that matters, is our results speak for themselves. Our results speak for themselves. Into a little NFL talk. Cracks, COVID, Bosa signs a 5-year deal. Huge commitment from that owner, that ownership group, moving into having to pay who knows if the fans by then. But these guys were having trouble selling, you know, tickets and keeping fan base. You threw it out there on social media yesterday. The two Charger fans, you know. The
two Charger fans react.
Reaction to the Bosa contract.
It's.
I applaud the dude's generational player. I guess to build around him. I mean, it's a filthy defense. They're all healthy, right? And he's more of an LA, anyways, than a San Diego personality. I guess that shows their commitment to LA. I don't follow Chargers much, so if you need to elaborate, please do so, because I don't want to sound like I'm talking out of my ass.
You know, with Bosa, for me, it's a football family, obviously.
Yeah.
It's the Watts, it's the Bosas, the
Manning. Last season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knicks.
I mean, they might be the two best defensive linemen in the league. You could make a case, at least pass rushing wise, are both named Bosa. We're in a situation where, if you know anything about Joey Bosa, I made a joke the other day. I'm really, really glad the Chargers and Joey Bosa's mom could agree to this contract, because there's zero discrepancy as who is in charge, and that's right. Fine. Look, my hat's off to her. She has raised two incredibly talented, I mean, two players to be not only in the NFL, but two at the best position. Good for her. But you can tell it's a very, you know, kind of, oh, we'll talk to my mom, or, you know, not to, you know, snub on that, but can Bosa stay on the field? Because that's my biggest thing. I think Joey Bosa's soft. Now, I am not saying that on the football field. I am saying that in terms of he, and this might change now because there always was in my mind, he's chasing that next contract.
Right.
Well, guess what? He got it now. Like, he got to negotiate this one. The last one, he kind of negotiated, but he had to hold out for that.
Right.
I will, you know, look, I'll give credit where credit is due. That ownership group, who will not be named on this podcast, probably decided, look, we are moving into this new stadium. It's not ours. We got to build around this. And you're right. I think the Chargers, they have Derwin James, who I think is really, really special. Once again, if he can stay healthy. Joey Bosa speaks for himself. Can he stay healthy? Then I look on the other side. Keenan Allen. Can he stay healthy? Mike Williams. Can't, you know, and if you continue going down the line, believe me, I'm an Eagles fan. There are 90% of my wide receivers end with, can he stay healthy? And it sucks. And the biggest question mark of all is the quarterback position. Right. I think, I really honestly do believe in my hearts of hearts, Herbert is the most NFL ready right now. I think 10 years from now, he will be more of kind of an above average quarterback out of all of them. I think he's a guy who can step in right now. Now, Anthony Lynn has made it pretty apparent that he believes Tyrod Taylor is the guy. More power to him. Hey, that's fine. But you're not going to win that division. And you're not going to win it even with Herbert. Don't get me wrong, with the Chiefs. But you're not going to make the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor as your quarterback. Unless that defense is top two or three, which is perfectly possible.
Capable. If
they stay healthy. So, you know, and we even go back to the offense. So the Chargers are a team that every year it seems like they could go 13 and 3. They're not going to win the division. We know that. They're not. I mean, Mahomes got to go down because they're going to have the worst quarter, or they're going to be at a deficiency at quarterback for another 10, 12 years. I don't care who they draft. I don't care how good Herbert is. Patrick Mahomes is a superstar, and that defense for the Chargers is that, I think for them, that's what they're building on now. Quarterback, okay, we'll figure that out, but we have to find a way to stop Patrick Mahomes. I think that's what everybody in the AFC is now trying to do, and Joey Bosa is one of them. Obviously, the reasons why. So, like I said, I'll give the credit where credit is due to that ownership group that get him locked up. Moving on to the COVID situation, the opting out. We talked about it last week with the NFL, the entity, the owner group, the commissioner, that entity versus the NFL Players Association in terms of the safety protocol, the testing, the bubble, or the how you stay healthy. And, you know, the NFL players were not very very happy about it.
NFL
kind of changed its tune, daily testing. Yeah, it was, we talked about it. It was that Sunday. It was like everybody just immediately –
Tweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Tweet.
I said off air, I do believe the NFL is going to have the highest percentage of players that opt out. And I think the big reason why is because outside of three or four players, everyone's on a one-year contract. If you go out and week three, you have to quarantine yourself. The team, I mean, as it is right now, they might write something they can cut you. It's over. Bye.
14 days.
You don't get no insurance, nothing. You know, you ran a fever. We don't need you.
Right.
So is it worth it? We look, $8 million is a lot of money. That's a marginal baseball player. Okay, that's
Joe Kelly?
Tommy Pham. Jerks and Profar. Exactly. Thank you. You know, $8 million in the NFL to anybody not at quarterback or running back, you're a top guy. That's about 5-10-15% that you make a year. So you look at the percentage of players making the minimum salary, which once again, 600 or six figures to play football, we'd all sign up for it guaranteed, but it's a different situation. Okay. We're not in these people's situations. Are they going to play for the minimum, putting their health at risk? And putting themselves really in a situation where, is it a win situation right now? We don't know. I mean, think about it. We're talking about September. I mean, we're 2 days away from August, and I'm not even quite ready to say July's done just yet. So there's a lot that could happen. It's going to be something where we will obviously continue to talk about. The NFL is the absolute foundation of this network. And we got to keep our eye on it for sure. Obviously, the Eagles took a big hit. Marquise Goodwin is not going to play. And once again, I will continue to say my tune. Look, I won't judge anybody. It is their decision. Good for him. He has his reasons. I'll never, ever, you know, doubt anybody or whatever. But yeah, it leaves the Eagles in a hole. They need another wide receiver. And now Rager, first round pick. You're now the number one slot guy. So I hope you learned it. Hopefully DeSean Jackson can stay healthy, but more than likely, Julian Rager, it's got to be on you. So
as soon as I saw the Rager signing, right, I meant to text him. My guy, then guy that I told about during the draft, my guys, and then Goodwin's out. Like, what? It's like I buy 20 and then I lose a 20, or I lose 29. But you know what? Jalen Rager, undervalued going into the draft. I think he has the ability to, you know what? I would call him a 1.5 number one receiver. You know what I mean? Rookie. He was a rookie 2 or 3 years in, he's number one receiver. But that's just not the case. I hope he is for your sake because you're my guy. We'll see, though. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts moving forward to the NFL. Camps are open up. And, I'm glad the NFL has taken their testing to another level.
Well, and I think they have to. This is – I mean, of all the leagues – everyone knows the NFL's pockets are the deepest. If you can't, and I've said it before, I said it on last week's podcast, the NFL image wise, any chance that they can go above and beyond for player safety, they have to do it. And it still won't be enough because of what they've done and how they've gone about it. I'll be the first one to admit everyone knows now. And I think even before we all kind of knew when you play football, something might be bad after the fact. And I think that's all the NFL needed to do, but for the NFL to stay so silent on the concussion thing for so long and for them to really force a 5-6 year deal with these. And it costs my favorite football player of all time his life, Junior Seau. Right. And we're talking about COVID, which the later effects, obviously, look, they could happen, but in terms CTE has a lot more late side effects, I would assume, at this point, unless we're talking zombie apocalypse in 5 years situation. But CTE, and they didn't even really give a shit about that until they had to. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to sit here and say, oh yeah, the NFL is going above and beyond to make sure that COVID, everything they're doing is, I believe, the absolute bare minimum they can get away with PR-wise.
Oh, of course, just to deal with.
Yeah, I have breaking news. I have breaking news that this greatly affects Brandon Lupien. Last year, Brandon Lupien, when he was on the betting podcast with us every Wednesday night, did not have to worry about CTE because our Atlanta guy, Piano Hands, William Young, had some issues that he could not come on the podcast.
Right.
I just got a series of messages from William Young saying that he will be on starting September the 2nd on our epic sports betting, not sports betting, but NFL betting podcast preview, where we're adding members to the Supreme Court of betting. Let's start it out. Now, we would have finished fourth in the Super Contest. So we're going to enter the Super Contest, get into details on that. So on the spreadsheet, you only have our picks, but you'll see where we're at in the Super Contest for $1 million. And now Coach Lupien's going to have his hard hat on every Wednesday, because we were just giving him softballs with the New Orleans Saints, but now Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty South, it's going to be on. And I wonder, in these Zoom meetings, is Piano Hands going to have his piano in the background?
He better. A little background noise from
he's incredible. He is a great, great musician. Definitely go give him a follow, Piano Hands. But that's awesome. That's great news. Adds a little Southern flavor, and maybe September 2nd, if he's a, I don't know if he's an Atlanta native or not. Maybe he can weigh in on the. Oh shit! No, never mind.
He's Filipino.
They're in Orlando. I'm thinking that I still have
the most. We are the most Filipino centric podcast, betting podcast in the United States, bar none. Nothing's even close to this. But those podcasts are still getting a lot of downloads, and people are getting a lot out of it because they're not worried about the games. They're figuring out the whys. People are listening to the podcast two or three times, getting something new, something nuanced. So I'm going to ask, I'm going to send him a message now, see how many years William Young has watched football to add to the 240 years that we had. On a podcast last year that was just so phenomenal. People can't believe it. And I'm like, well, seeing is believing. Hearing is believing. So watch. You don't want to hear it? Watch the YouTube video. Look at the percentages. Do your own research. All right? And don't be jealous. Stop waiting your time being mad and jealous that you couldn't figure it out. Humble yourself. Get the information and make money during a pandemic.
William, if you're listening now, welcome. Okay. I actually miss hearing you. We've built a great friendship starting 3 years ago with the rest of these guys. And whenever we get out, and I'm going to go see you play out. I think you play out in La Mesa somewhere. So if you're listening, big shout out to Piano Hands. Forward to hear back from you in September. So good deal. Good deal.
Awesome.
So finishing up, where are we at with our NFL? We talk contract, we talk COVID. A little about MLS a little bit. If any of you listen to the MLS podcast, another unsung hero to our NFL podcast is Craig Mizrach, the MLS player for us this week. Scored 81% win percentage. I believe Josh said he's lined up a pass next, so we're going to put that out there. Be on look for that if you're into the MLS. Be first, any final thoughts, any final words?
You know, it's like I said, I think this is the part now. By this time next week, we will have all three sports going, and not just going, but going nonstop daily in big time situations. It's really, really, it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to be a situation where it's like, oh man, like get your devices ready. Because your previous channel won't be enough. You're going to have, you know, maybe a laptop open over here or something like that. We paid our penance and waited 3 months for sports. We are about to be absolutely overwhelmed, and I'm knocking on wood as we say that, because once again, right, it is 2020. Right. Anything can happen from now until 5 minutes from now, let alone a week. But this is our time to enjoy what we've missed. I think for myself, I took it for granted. Excuse me. Just the just sitting down watching a baseball game. Just sitting down watching a sporting event. It was very normal, and it's been a long time. And we can watch the old games, and I love that, you know, that we kind of had a week of the 98 Padres, and we showed, you know, some of the best games. That was fun for a bit, but at some point you're, I want the new stuff, and I want to feel normal again. And I don't know if we feel normal yet. I don't know if we ever will feel normal. I think we have to get used to the new normal. But in terms of what we have sporting wise, this is about to be kind of the treat. Maybe we stayed in timeout for two extra minutes longer than we should have, but here's an extra cookie for us. I think that's what we're going to have.
Great little metaphor for what we're just
it's always cookies.
Friggin' time for sure. That wraps it up for us this week. You know, we're gonna talk more results and see what this five games MLB week was like next week in regards to the next 10. So Thank you for listening, subscribe, and listen to our previous podcast. William Young, welcome back to the crew. MLS with coming aboard. Horse races, this I'll be winner 12 on Twitter. Be first for at first report on Twitter. Myself at Portland 76 Twitter. And to wrap up with Steve Fisher, I think you get what you're doing, you get to where you want to go. And that's where this podcast is headed, to the top. And results will speak for itself. This is it for the week. And we wish you guys the best.
Actually, I'm going to do
you're doing your Dodger report?
Yeah, I'm going to do a quick Dodgers betting report.
Well, I will be out. Apologize. But you handle that, and I'll see you guys next week.
Just thank something. You,
you guys have a good evening.
Take care.
You too. Thank you.
All right. So, looking at the Dodgers from a betting perspective, right? They lost twice to the Giants. So the Giants were getting a big number. So, if you're like me, betting Dodger games every day, where you make your money is picking when the Dodgers are going to lose, or you suspect the Dodgers are going to lose. And you be rewarded, because if you're 1-2 picking those games, you're still making money because you're getting such a huge plus number. All right? So you got to change your thinking around betting Dodgers games. It's not betting when you think they're going to win, you got to bet when you think they're going to lose. And a great time to pick against the Dodgers is when Alex Wood is pitching. Or if you want to pick against a run line, it's Alex Wood, right? Because Alex Wood is Alex Wood, a guy that a lot of people feel he's like a system quarterback in an offense that has a great offense. He doesn't really have that great talent, but he's good enough, right? Good enough theory, right? He's just good enough to be on the team and to benefit from the fact he has a great offense. And Alex Wood is just good enough to induce double plays, to lean on that good Dodger defense, because the Dodgers are a run suppression team versus a team that wants to win offensively and will, put a guy in right field to hide his lack of defensive ability. That isn't the Dodgers. Everybody on the field is a great defensive player. So you say, well, I picked it under every time for the Dodgers. No, you pick the under in big games, right? Or a big game within the regular season. You would pick the under because that's the way the Dodgers play, depending on who the pitcher is. Now, Alex Wood has great control. He can place the ball. So in baseball, especially the Dodgers, they are going to position the defense based on the pitching, right? Where the pitcher's going to give it. So Alex Wood is a guy like that. However, he doesn't have great stuff. He makes a mistake, it's 400 feet deposited in the, in the stands, right? Because he doesn't have, or if he's having an off day, right? He doesn't have the stuff to overcome that. But he's on the Dodgers because he fits their philosophy, right? And you saw he went to a bad team. It was a complete disaster. He went to the Reds, complete disaster. He cannot be with the Reds. He has to be with a Dodger team there where he's being taken care of. Plus, he's a great guy, good guy in the locker room. And that's what the Dodgers need. They don't need any problems. They want to go to the World Series. Another time you want to pick the Dodgers against the Dodgers is when Julio Urias is playing. Now, when we look at off-the-field issues with a person, what we look at as bettors is how is this going to affect them on the field, or how does this relate to the way he plays on the field, right? And Urias has been suspended for domestic violence. He's had several domestic violence problems, and he's been with the Dodgers organization, and that's translated to, if things aren't going his way, he lacks emotional control and he loses control, period. He's wild and he loses, especially when he starts. I think just because of his mentality, embedding, right? The way, and in picking stocks, right? Variables and covariables. The least covariables and the less variables ensures a result. So you start Urias, there's more innings that something can get in his mind. I mean, there's a reason from the beginning of time when a pitcher's starting, he's at the end of the dugout. You're not supposed to talk to him because they're supposed to be focused, right, on what they're going to do. Right? Even the day before, they're supposed to have a chart where the pitch chart is, where the outfielders are stationed. They're supposed to be locked in, right? On a road trip, the starting pitcher for the next day gets sent home, right? Anyone that's least amount of distraction. This guy has a living distraction in his head, right? And it might not be his fault. It could be the way his frontal lobe is structured. So if Urias is starting, this is a good time to pick against him. For me, I would have him as a reliever, because least amount of variables, right? One inning versus trying to get 100 pitches in there before losing his emotional control or getting distracted in his head, all right? And the other one's Dustin May. Dustin May is one of those, I call him Matt Castle type guys, right? Matt Castle, from what I hear, was lights out in preseason practices. He's lights out in regular season practice, all right? He's lights out against teams they can beat. But in pressure situations and big games, Matt Castle did not produce ever, not even in college, against Notre Dame or UCLA. All right? Dustin May's the same way. He has not been overly impressive. And he starts tonight against the Astros. It'll be interesting to see how he does in a pressure situations in the playoffs. Each time he came in with a gasoline can in his hand and lit it up like a California wildfire, right? And then you saw Dave Roberts with his head down taking out the guy who everybody likes because of his red hair, all right? So that's what I'm looking at for the Dodgers betting. Look, when those pitchers start to look hard at that big, especially if it's a plus 450, and the Dodgers have won the night before, definitely look to go the other way. All right, thank you. That is today's weekly Dodger betting briefing. I'm the best there is.